Hey, welcome back to another episode of Bite Size Bodacious Babes, and welcome to the first Bite Size podcast profile, which is an insight into established podcasts and tips from the people that made them. So if you're a fan of Alan Partridge and you like this podcast, you're going to love this chat because we're sharing some good vibes as of today. I'm joined by a pal and maid whilst I was in London, Mr. Tom Stebb, who co-hosts the amazing Monkey Tennis podcast, which is an Alan Partridge fan podcast. So he hosts it with four other pals. And yeah, we're going to talk about this podcast. So what it is, who it's for, pretty obvious, Alan Partridge fans. Some highlights, which include them actually booking Simon Greenhall as a guest. Also the inspiration for the podcast. So you know when you start one, you probably like some podcasts. So there's particularly ones I absolutely love myself, as I mentioned quite a few times, Adam Buxton. For them, it was Talking Bad, Talking Dead, and he'll go into what those are. And he's going to shed some light on Acast, who is the host platform that they use for their podcast. And he'll also offer some great tips to support your podcast financially, like Ko-fi. And when I say financially, I just mean maybe buy yourself some extra beers. So enjoy. Enchanté. So I've got lovely Tom Stab with me. We met together in London and you co-host Monkey Tennis podcast. But you guys have been doing it since 2016, which seems absolutely mad to me now. And you're on episode 89.
Yeah, well, actually, we put out episode 90 this morning.
No way.
So, yeah, we've been doing it for 4 years. And even then, it took us about 2 years to work out what our podcast was going to be. So it was just me and three mates. And we knew we wanted to do a podcast, but it took us about 2 years to actually decide on what we were going to do it on, because it was a bit of a, you know, dip a toe in the water, see.
Yeah.
We knew we wanted to do a podcast, but we didn't know what on. Let's just do a podcast on something we know about, that we all like, that, yeah, like we have a good knowledge on. It'll be fun and we'll see how it goes and we'll just take it from there. And it will be a way for us to understand how it works, how to get stuff on iTunes or Apple Podcasts as it is now, and just kind of how to distribute it, how to sort of build a little bit of awareness and just kind of get a bit of experience before doing something next that was like the proper thing.
So what was the first thing called? Was it called something else then, or was it always
no, we genuinely had no idea what we were going to do. We were just like, we'll do an Alan Partridge one just so we can get some experience, right, and kind of work out what we're doing and you know, create some artwork, you know, have a few beers, get in a room, talk about this thing, put it out and just get a bit of experience and see how it goes. And then once we've got a bit of experience and know-how, we can then kind of decide what we're actually going to do.
Yeah. So
and then it kind of blew up a little bit and we were all massively, massively taken by surprise.
And quick question on, like, so what, you've had a few people on the podcast as well, but was that like later on? And like for you guys to even, did you contact them? And who were the guests?
Yeah, we'd done two series, I think, by the time we had a guest on. Mm-hmm. And the first time we had a guest was a live show. No, sorry, I think we'd done three series. We'd done three series and then we did a live show, and we had Simon Greenall, who, if you're not familiar with Alan Partridge, plays a character called Michael. But even if you're not familiar with Alan Partridge, you'll be familiar with his voice because he's the voice of Alexander the Meerkat and has been since the start of those adverts. So you know his voice.
I did not know that.
There you go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we had him on as a guest on a live show. So we thought we'd do a live show and see, you know, put some tickets on sale, see how that goes. And we did that at the Prince Charles Cinema. Because our producer Jed has a contact there, and there was a room of, I think it's 80 people, the small room there.
That's amazing.
And we thought, oh, we'll put a live show on, see if anyone wants to come. And we sold it out a couple of weeks before we did that live show. So that was amazing. And we've since then done two live shows where it's sort of our event, and then we've also done a live event at the London podcast festival. We've done Comic Con twice, and we did a small tour, very small tour, where we went to as part of that run that included the London podcast festival, we did Manchester and Bristol as well. So we were kind of, as I said, very taken aback and surprised by how popular it became quite quickly. And I think it was, you know, we kind of got inspiration from, there was a podcast called Talking Bad, which was a Breaking Bad podcast, where the podcast episode would go out fairly quickly after the actual episode had aired, and they'd talk about it, and a couple of us listened to that podcast and really liked it. So that was kind of the inspiration behind it. And you know, we're in no way at all pioneers, because like I said, Talking Dead and Talking Bad and Talking Dead, actually there was the Walking Dead podcast as well, and then since then there's an Office one, there's a Peep Show one. Members of the cast of the US Office and the US the West Wing have got their own one as well, so sort of official one. So it's quite a popular format for fans and for people who were involved in those shows originally, to kind of retrospectively look back on those projects and kind of talk about them, and hopefully one, entertain people, and also maybe you learn something from listening to it.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like I saw that the BBC have done a few of those things as well. Like it feels like a lot of people have started doing that with like certain TV shows. And I think I just saw the lads from Scrubs. They've got a podcast now.
Yes, and yes, they have. Yeah.
Which is, Scrubs was on TV the other day and I saw that and I was like, I'm 100%. I used to be so into Scrubs.
Mm.
Like every...
Yeah, so they've just launched one. And then the BBC have been doing quite a few companion ones as well. So there was a His Dark Materials companion one, and there was a one for the last series of Inside Number 9 as well. Two shows that I'm a big fan of. So it seems really cool.
It could be, yeah, that's kind of, there's a girl, and I will get her name, Heather, I forget her second name, but she's doing a podcast show basically about the fact that she's never seen the OC, and her other friend has, and they watch it and then they talk about it after, and it's quite fun to listen back to. First of all, when she told me, I was like, how did you not see the OC? But yeah, it's good. It's good to
I like that as a format. That's quite good. Someone who's really passionate and loves something, and then someone who's never seen it before. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
It's cool. It's a good one. I was like, when she was telling me, I was like, interesting. I want to ask you one more question, which is, I see you guys have a Patreon page, and I was looking into that, but I don't know if it's something you guys still use that much, but would you recommend it, or like, how did you start?
We don't use Patreon, we use Ko-fi or Ko-fi or whatever, Ko-fi. That is so Patreon, I guess, kind of, from what I understand, because we did look into it, from what I understand is that you have different tiers of subscription or donation or whatever you want to call it, where the person at the other end gets something back for their donation, whether that is special episodes or access or be on the show or merch or anything under the sun. We decided to go down the Ko-fi route because it was just, we didn't want, mostly because
it's a lot of extra effort.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we don't earn a huge amount of money from it. It's not like we can quit our jobs to do this. It would be a lot of effort for not a huge amount of return. And especially remember, we're splitting it five ways as well. So it's, you know, it's not really the effort that would need to go into it. We wouldn't necessarily get the reward. And it would become more like a job, and we don't want it to be like that unless it, you know, compensated as such.
Yeah, but the Ko-fi thing's great.
So the Ko-fi one is just like, donate whatever you want. Buy us a coffee, exactly. Yeah, so £3.
If you enjoyed it. Yeah.
And we started that this series because, you know, we've done nearly 90 episodes, and all that content is available for free. So, you know, if you really love something and want it to continue, I mean, if no one pledged at all, we would still continue doing it because our costs are pretty low. But it's just a way for some people, if they want to, of course they don't have to at all, show a little bit of appreciation for, you know, the effort and the work that goes into producing podcasts, because, you know, they are a free medium apart from, you know, people who do monetize and put behind paywalls and stuff like that. Majority of the content, 99% of the content, is available for free. So, you know, as you know, equipment costs and, you know, time as well. Like, it does all add up. So as much as it is a passion project for a lot of people, if you do want to make it sort of your career and make it your a regular source of income. I think, obviously, yes, make the content really good, but you've got to put in the effort and put in the work to make it a valuable offering for the person who's going to be subscribing and donating. Because it's a two-way street. It's not just an easy way to make some extra money. It's like you've got to put the effort into. So if it works for your podcast and works for what you want to do and your availability and the content that you want to make, then amazing and brilliant. But it just wouldn't quite work for us because of what we do. But that doesn't mean there are ways that people can support you.
Yeah, even that idea, I've seen it around other places as well with regards to if I go online and maybe do a tutorial on YouTube, there's a few people that within that, when you're logging in, they say buy a coffee, and there's a little like you can actually
there you
embed
go. That's
something.
Great.
It's great. That's so great. It's a similar, like, I think it's a really nice way of being like, look, you're giving me an hour of your time, I'm taking an hour of your time. And of course, it's free. You don't have to, but if you want to, it's there. So I like that idea. That's
yeah,
cool.
And I think a tutorial is a great idea, or a blog post or something like that. Yeah. If you've enjoyed reading this, if you've enjoyed watching it, and you want to show some support, if you've learned something, then like it's great that I've helped you learn something. If you feel like, you know, chucking me £3 to buy me a coffee or whatever, then that'd be amazing. But also, you know,
no pressure.
Yeah.
I was going to ask one more thing because I'm just thinking, where do you? I know this, but where do you host your podcast, and why did you pick them?
So we work with Acast. Our first series we didn't. Our first series we just put out. And the reason that we didn't go speaking to podcast providers was because we had literally no experience. No one knew who we were. We weren't sort of, you know, we didn't have previous careers like a lot of people who are launching podcasts coming into the podcast space. They already have existing audiences and existing fan bases. We're just, you know, complete nobody's. We're just like no experience, so
learn
we were just like we just learn as we go, exactly. Yeah. So no one's going to take that on. So it was only after the first series where we got a bit of success and it did pretty well when we launched it that we said, okay, let's see if we can, you know, get some support elsewhere. And Acast have been amazing since we started working with them. So yeah, we started working with them from our second series onwards. They have the direct relationship with Apple Podcasts. So we've been lucky enough to have the sort of, you know, the header banner on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. That's part of the pitching process that they do.
That's
on our
huge
behalf. So yeah, they would go, these are all the podcasts that we've got, this is what they've got coming up in terms of their series rollout, this is what they've got in terms of their stats on their listenerships, on their demographics, on their retention rate, on their socials, all of that stuff. The other benefit is they take care of the hosting for you. You have access to all the analytics and all the data as well in terms of location data, where people are listening, demographic, retention rate, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
We learned quite quickly that there was a certain point where, and on average, most people were dropping off because we were doing a segment at the end of each podcast in the first and second series. And we noticed that people were dropping off when that segment started. So it was like, well, let's ditch that segment then, because people aren't engaging in it. People aren't interested in it. So it allows you to work out what's working in your podcast and what isn't, and streamlining it and making it better. So that's really useful as well. And also they invite us to their Christmas party as well, so we get a bit of free booze at the end of the year. So, you know, they're great. And, you know, they have a whole sort of sales support team. They have a tech support team. They've been really, really great to us. Of course, the other thing that I missed out is the ads that they place on your podcast for you, so you can monetize with them. There are lots of benefits. And that's not to say that is the only option. That's just what we've used
fits,
and what our experience is. So obviously do your research and have a look around and email people
Podbean,
and speak to
there's
them.
There's loads of ones, yeah.
Exactly, Stitcher, there's
so YouTube
many.
Based.
Yeah.
I've got one thing I want to ask at the moment, actually, is, so you're talking about how, for example, Acast, or let's say someone else hosts your podcast. So for me at the moment, I have SoundCloud that hosts it. I do all the groundwork. So I'll upload, I'll input my hashtags, I'll input all the information. Do you have to give them a lot of stuff, or do you actually just
we do that
an episode?
We
yeah,
do
okay,
that.
So you still get to do all that. I think that's quite good, actually.
So we have Acast have their own login,
like a portal
for creators. Yeah, a portal called Create. And you log into that, and that's where you access all the analytics. And that's also where you upload your episodes as well. So you upload your episodes, you put all the tagging in, you put what you want to call it, put in the artwork. And then you can also using a sort of like slider tool, mark where you want the ads to run in your show as well. So you can be as accurate as saying, I mean, this is really cheesy, but it's the perfect example where you go, That's the end of that section. We'll be back in a minute after a word from our sponsors. And then because you say that when you're doing your recording, you can then leave a little gap like of a second and then just drop the pin. And that's where the ad will be served when you upload the episode and when it goes live as well.
That's super simple. Mm. That's really cool. Similar to you, I did a lot of research before I started and I wanted to just learn, put stuff out, not worry. Obviously had like no audience. So it's like still something I'm still growing. So for me, I was like, it's just not the right thing right now. But I think, yeah, companies like that are really great. And then there are people that have potentially less time or want to do less. They just need a bit more of a handheld or understanding. So I think other companies like Acast and other ones like Stitcher, Podbean, they can probably offer a bit of advice as well. Well, Tom, this has been amazing. A lot of this stuff, even when I interview people, I'm like, this is for my own benefit too. I'm also learning. Well,
but I think what is good, there's another link for you that you can include in the outro. I'll let you know because I can't remember exactly what it's called. But there's a really awesome podcast support group on Facebook where people drop in loads of questions. It's really active. People reply super, super quick, like any technical questions, any like, you know, as simple as like someone asking from a metadata point of view, what's the best sort of thing to call your podcast, what should I be calling it, should I be putting my name in, and then there's people kind of replying and giving advice and stuff like that. So it's a really good support network for any questions that you have that you want answering quickly as well, because people do respond. But that's really useful as well.
Yeah, I've got mad into Reddit right now. Like I'm a big Reddit person now. I never used it before. Now some of it's a bit crazy, but yeah, it's quite fast in that too. I feel like a lot of it skews US wise though, so some of it doesn't
Definitely, but it is still a really handy resource for any sort of troubleshooting or questions that you have, and people get back to you really, really quickly.
Yeah, and really honestly. Yeah. I'll say thank you one more time, actually, for coming and joining me to chat. And yeah, fantastic. So that was Tom. And as ever, I am not the best at ending chats. I just end up chatting to them for like probably half an hour or so after and I forget to do a proper outro. So there you have it. And thanks again to Tom for joining me. He has honestly got so much knowledge. That's a lot of years doing the podcasting, and similar to me, he kind of just wants to start to figure out how it all worked. Which is actually, I think, quite a good way of learning and putting a little bit less pressure on yourselves. Also, I know some people worry about having an audience straight away. Less of an audience is quite nice because then you have, again, less pressure, and the people that do listen, you can get their feedback and they can also give you advice into like maybe what they'd like as extra guests. So quite a few of my guest bookings or topic ideas for my podcast have actually come from people that have fed back to me, and it's really useful. I hope you found that useful. Plus, you may have come across some great podcast gems that Tom and I mentioned to listen to, which could include Monkey Tennis. And I'll share a link in the episode show notes for Tom's podcast too. If you're interested in starting a podcast, I've actually launched my podcast consultancy. So just drop me a line on Instagram. So that's Bite Size Predacious Babes, or go to my website. So that's bbbpodcast.xyz or Z, and click through to find out more. You'll basically just be put through to me. And actually, since our chat, I have set up a Buy Me a Coffee, which is really similar to Ko-fi link. So that's up on my website too. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed us sharing some good vibes, and have a lovely day, evening. Bye. Enchanté.